What is going down, everyone? It's time for The Hype, episode number 195. Man, we're only five away from episode 200. We got some exciting stuff to talk about today. Wander, lighting up the baseball world. We're going to talk about him. We're going to talk about the best prospects in the hobby. We're also going to end it off with a little Guess That Price, a little impromptu short Guess That Price. So get your answers ready for that. So lots of stuff going down. MojoBreak.com. We're breaking select baseball today. We got Stadium Club Baseball on Friday as well. Also, all the other stuff is being broken as well. And I forgot to tell C-Rad, we got Mosaic Collegiate in stock as well. So whenever you want to do that, brand new Mosaic Collegiate football in stock. So
Mosaic Collegiate football.
Yeah. Debut edition.
Was that, is that a normal release? Or was it through the website only?
It was right through Panini's website, yeah. The
awesome.
Duchy. Dan got down in the Duchy.
So we got
Duchy
that in.
To the left-hand side. Yeah, we have like a fair amount of it.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Let's go.
It's only two packs, 15 cards apiece. One auto in each pack, and a lot of color.
So, okay.
It looks pretty awesome, so check that out. But Dan, how's it going? You got back from Vegas. How was Vegas, dude?
It's Vegas, man.
Yeah.
We apparently are back to normal. That's it.
You're just YOLOing it up in Vegas,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, I mean it was cool, man. It was hot. It was like a buck 16.
Yeah.
Gotta
stay hydrated out there.
You gotta, don't see on days like that. And I was watching a lot of people carry around the like the slushies that you wear because they're so big. Like it's like 60 something ounces. It's like strapped around your, and it's just filled with sugar and rum.
Oh, those are horrible.
So many people, and every time I see somebody walk the strip, and I'm like, why are you?
Isn't it like a guitar or something?
Yeah, guitar, or like just, there was one, I'm not kidding. It was like 4.5 feet tall.
I was just alcohol?
They're like, they're just dragging it around.
And then they're dragging themselves around at the end of that.
But yeah, that is one thing that if you've never been to Vegas on a hot day, like you probably, I know it sounds like a good idea, you know, Slurpee with alcohol. It's not going to end well. You're going to ruin a day or two.
You know, they have those, and they have those like you're supposed to share it, but I see people not sharing it. Those 105-ounce like big old like margarita thing.
Like a fish bowl?
Yes.
Okay, well, I don't think the fish bowl drink is coming back. I don't think it survived.
Oh, yeah.
I don't think it survived the pandy.
Yeah.
Can you imagine just 185 ounces and everybody gets a straw?
Bro, I think every time I've been to Vegas, I usually get the real small one that's like this tall, maybe. No, I don't even know what you're talking about. The people are wearing it.
Oh, dude, all the time, everywhere.
I do. They're wearing. Describe what it is. They're wearing it's a bottle, or is it like a design? Like, is it a guitar? Or?
No, they have the guitar ones. You keep on bringing up the guitar ones, but yeah, they have the guitar ones. But they also have. It's like a.
It goes around your neck or something?
Think of it as like a huge, giant plastic, like martini glass that's like super long, and it has like a lanyard, and you wear it around your neck.
It's like the Yard House yard.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
okay.
And you have like a crazy straw attached to it. And it's like.
Yeah. Yeah. I think after 30, the sugar in my alcohol just doesn't mix.
Man. I do.
I mean,
it
doesn't end well. Like
I was drinking this crazy, crazy elixir. It's called beer.
wow. What a concept.
It's good.
Yeah.
It's good.
Yeah.
It's good.
Coors Lights. Nice.
I mean,
never go wrong.
There ain't
is
nothing,
beer. Is that new?
There ain't nothing better than. Just Blue Mountains. Got that aluminum layer that really locks in that Rocky Mountain taste.
Yeah, that seems like a dangerous amount of sugar and alcohol.
Yeah, I don't think if my day has ever started with one of those, like he said, it never usually ends well, you know.
Those are fun to have, like maybe, like I said, in small amounts, but not anything like what you're describing.
No,
that seems
gratuitous
insane
amounts,
dude.
Yeah,
you if it's anything north of 16 ounces, it's a bad idea.
Yeah, pretty much.
But, yeah, it was cool, though.
You think you only had one drink, but in all reality, you had, like, 15.
Yeah.
You feel good about yourself. I only had one drink.
And you had like probably 15. About 750 grams of sugar.
Yeah, it's a lot of sugar going through. You're going to diabetic coma at that point.
It's legit. I went and saw a comedy show. That was, you know.
Oh, it was a Manicalco, right?
Manicalco. Yeah, he's great.
He's good on stage?
He's great. Very physical comedian.
Yeah.
Yeah, besides that, I mean, it was like 2019.
Nice. I'll be there Friday, so I'll be signing flats for anybody that's in the area. So come and hit me up on the IG, and I'll be out there. I don't sign jerseys, but
wait,
flats.
Wait, you're going to be in Vegas?
I'm in Vegas on Friday, yeah.
Lucky, man. Yeah. You guys are lucky, man. Friday. I don't think I'm planning a Vegas trip until maybe like August or not August.
Well, you got to go out to the
October,
summit,
November.
Right?
Oh, yeah. Wait, the summit.
The summit in September.
September.
When I go with you guys, Raiders. That's the only time I'm going to be in Vegas.
Raiders against the Ravens.
That's right.
But there is another trip coming up, and it's at the end of July, and it's called the National, and we're going to be there, guys. So check it out. If you're going to the National, and if you're not, you should think about going because it's awesome. It's amazing. And I think this year is going to be a once-in-a-lifetime experience. We're going to be there at the Case Break Pavilion, booth 1515. We're going to be doing free breaks, and we have two new shirt designs that we're going to be unleashing there as well, including a hype shirt. So get excited. We got a hype shirt, and it's amazing. It's going to look phenomenal.
For everybody that listens to us on podcasts and YouTube, we got a shirt for you.
Yep. And we're going to definitely have, because, you know, we do like to market ourselves. If you get there early and you get the shirt and then you wear it like the next day, you're going to get something extra in return because you're like a walking billboard for us. So not only are the shirts super cool because they're like amazing material like this one right here, but you also get free stuff for wearing it. So yeah, check us out there. And then also we're going to do the free break signups there as well. And we got a special guest possibly in the house, a couple special guests. So stay tuned for those details as well.
A couple
special guests. Yeah, we're working on some stuff and some things. So want to get right into, the topic that everybody's been talking about in a follow-up from last week's show, single cards are continuing to dip. And we're going to analyze that. You can see the Kobe in April, a Kobe refractor, 30 to 35K. Today, 15K to 17K. LeBron as well. And obviously, Luka is the one that everybody's been talking about. And last week, I said, that I believe Luka was the starter of this whole downtrend. I think it's an amazing time to buy these refractors, the low pop on the refractors. I'd be buying these. If I seen one at 14K, I'd buy one. If you have one at 14K, call me up. Hit me up. I'll buy one at 14K. I think that's a phenomenal price. I'd be buying like these legends that are going like they're dipping this low. I think it's a phenomenal time to buy.
It's getting to the point where we sold it.
I know, right?
It's getting to the point.
Yeah, it's going back down. Yeah, can get it right back.
I feel better.
So I just think that some people are panic selling, and especially if you look at the pop reports on some of these items, like we talked about last week, the pop report on if it's a low pop, then they should not be selling for half the price they sold for. It's just people are thinking that the Luka is the whole market. Well, there's 40,000 Lukas. There's only X amount of LeBron James refractors. There's not an infinite amount of LeBron James refractors. So anybody's got a take on this, on these single cards?
I actually am surprised at LeBron James because I'm looking on eBay every day. And I rarely see any LeBron James. Now, Jordans, you see him every day. Luka, every minute, if you're on eBay, you could find a Luka that's ending.
Yep.
Kobe, a lot more Kobe's than LeBron James.
Right.
So that surprises me.
You know, and it's funny that we're seeing like the crypto market drop. We're seeing stocks are kind of leveled out. I mean, there's some that are dropping. Is it any coincidence in the crypto market and the card market both dropping?
I don't know. At least with a card, you don't have. It's not magic beans. It's a real, it's a real tangible item you're holding on to.
Right. I don't know. I think I'm gonna buy. I bought some Bitcoin last night. I know this is well off topic. And I'm not a financial advisor, but I did buy some Bitcoin last night.
I like Bitcoin.
I feel like I might buy some more.
You guys are crazy, man.
I love magic beans, man. That's what I'm all about.
If you're gonna buy the magic beans, at least buy the OG magic beans. You know what I'm saying?
Man, I was so into that. Like, I don't know, like 12 days ago. I've moved on.
I don't think the crypto market and the sports car market correlate really, but it is a downtime for both right now.
Because people are going outside. People are going to Vegas.
I think that's the main theory that I've seen comments on our past video too that people are saying They think that, you know, people have things to go do now outside of sports cards, right? Or outside of the investing in cryptocurrency or stocks. So, I mean, it's valid. That's definitely one of the reasons I could see why.
It's crazy. I mean, you're right, because people are going out and doing what they got to do. Before my very brief trip that I had last week, I was actually like, I'm not convinced that the National is going to be attended the way everybody was speculating until I saw how busy Vegas was. And the National will break every attendance record in history.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I was trying to get another hotel room, and none of them that were remotely close were available. So, yeah, those are all booked up already. That just tells me how many people are coming down. So, it's crazy. And also, we do have a giveaway from last week to announce the winner for. We have another giveaway coming up this week as well. Stay tuned. It's going to be prospect related. So, get your prospect names ready. We're going to talk prospects here soon. But, I don't know what to think about the attendance. I know a lot of people that I know that everybody's going. So, everybody that I know in the industry is going to be there. So, we'll have to see how crazy downtown Rosemont at night. We'll see how loke that place gets. I mean, we may not even be able to play our annual breaker football game out there because the field might be just covered with people.
Oh, I'm playing it.
Just, you're going to run around people?
Yep. I'll figure out.
Or we could field the first 50 men on each side team of breaker.
50 versus 50.
That would actually probably be a better way of going about doing it. It was the 5-on-5 is a little tough.
For 2 hours.
Yeah,
so
for
you're
two
saying
hours.
Like just straight up 11-on-11. We got blockers, we got defensive ends,
yep,
and tackles,
yep,
and linebackers.
And coaches.
Yeah, coaches. You got coaches out there.
Well, we should
have
a draft. I might take that special guest as my first overall pick if possible.
It's not fair. We'll see. But, yeah, I mean, it's interesting to watch the card market. But, like I said, I'm a buyer at these prices. I've been buying stuff. Any of this, like, these legends that have dropped, I mean, you may not get another opportunity to get these lower prices because these are going to go – people that are buying now are basically going to hold on to it forever. So, I think there's some panic buying. I think the guys that got new – they got into this hobby are looking at their net worth going down. And what's the easiest way to get some of it back? Sell a $10,000 to $20,000 card. Right, so I think you're seeing a lot of that going on, and we'll see what the national effect has, right?
I think you always see in a regular year. Don't think about last year, but in a regular year, you usually have a dip in the basketball category because
basketball's over.
What speculation are you going to have? Basketball's over. It's the off season. It's a good time to buy, bad time to sell.
Yep. Yeah, and especially the names, the big names are out now, right? You got LeBron's out. You've got, you know, KD out. So,
AD out.
I mean, Booker's prices are probably going up. Maybe Giannis's, but Giannis's were low already. So
they are. And then, I mean, what, you got Kawhi. Kawhi's, I mean, his price has always been pretty high.
Yeah, exactly.
But how about Ayton? Ayton has to see a little bit of a spike, right?
For sure.
You definitely would think that. I have one on eBay. I'm asking like $179. It was probably a really good deal. Prism Auto for $179.
No one wants it.
Somebody offered $159 after the game. So I was like, oh, okay. People are starting to pay attention. So, hit us up if you want to buy that card. Just buy it up. It's on eBay. But let's go ahead and talk about some Stadium Club. Stadium Club's coming out Friday. It's a set that's near and dear to my heart. It's actually what got me into this hobby in 1991. Stadium Club opened it with my dad, chasing Frank Thomas, Jeff Bagwell, building those sets pack by pack. So it's awesome to see every year, and it's some of the best photography. So we're going to have that coming out on Friday. We got breaks on Friday of it. We also have it available at mojobreakshop.com for a special pre-sale price. So if you go on mojobreakshop.com, you can get your Stadium Club box and get shipped to your door, and you can pull all these cool cards and chase all these new rookies and stuff like that. So, but on that baseball tip, Wander. Wander Franco has
Hall
arrived.
Of Famer. Hall of Famer.
Already, huh?
First ballot, no doubt.
Wait, what about Shohei?
He's
last week's news.
Nah, he, again, like crypto, it was like 12 days ago. Moved on.
What do you guys think about wander. And Cody, if you have that winner from last week, if you want to, I know you wrote that down earlier, if you want to get that one ready. Wander Franco has arrived, hit a home run in his first game, and set the world on fire. Number one prospect.
That was his first hit, three-run homer?
No, it was 0-for-1, so then he hit a home run. Second
at bat.
Wow. Yeah. So youngest player in MLB history with two extra base hits in his debut. If you're a Wander owner right now, if you've bought his first Bowman auto, you bought his gold or whatever, are you selling or are you holding? Dan, what are you thinking?
You know, we talk about this a lot where you almost want to sell right before they make their debut. You have that hype. There's the what-if factor. But he got called up, and he kind of delivered, right?
He did. But so now do you?
I don't – seeing what, like, some of his, like, autos were going for, first Bowman paper. Have you seen what the first Bowman paper are going for, graded?
No.
I think they're, like, $300.
Jeez.
Just have a few paper base?
I think so. So I'm probably selling.
I mean, what worries me is it's the Rays. What Rays I mean, you had Evan Longoria in 2007 that, you know, kind of had some steam underneath them, but there really hasn't been anybody that's sold for the Rays in the last, like, 5 or 10 years, except for this guy. Now, is he going to turn the tide for the Rays? I mean, obviously, he had a great start, but I think I'm selling, too. What do you think, C-Rad?
Selling.
Yeah.
I mean, dude, I feel like
yeah, dude.
This is the moment, right? Like, these people have been collecting them for years now, and we've been talking about them for years. He gets caught up, gets that homer. I think it's a good time to sell.
Yep, paper base, 135. You're right. $135 for the paper base.
Well, I think I said 300, but...
Well, still, that's a lot more than I would have guessed. $135. Yep.
$300 would have been ridiculous, dude, because there's so many of those.
It's probably the chrome. $135 is ridiculous, to be honest.
Yeah, I mean, $135 is pretty crazy.
That is a
lot. But $300 would have been absolutely ridiculous for how many paper bases are out there.
KJ said the pitcher had Wander cards. Wouldn't that be funny if you're, like, invested in a player and you're like, well, I think I need to add to the stat category here.
I mean, it's
only one game for my ERA.
Right, right.
In terms of people that, like, athletes that collect sports cards, I think baseball players are the ones that collect the most, right, out of any sport probably.
It seems like, and you definitely had a new wave of baseball players during this the parallel era, where we were calling it the pandemic parallel era. You had the guy from the Padres, the pitcher with the long hair that plays for the Padres, the relief pitcher. He has his own channel. You have the guy from the Royals. I think his name's like Daniel Trillo or Daniel Tillo.
Strom is the guy from
Strom.
The Padres. Matt Strom.
Matt Strom. He collects. He breaks.
They're Alex Bregman and Kyle Tucker.
Yep. They have videos. You have
Phil Hughes, of course.
You got the guy from the Packers, the running back AJ Dillon, who's collecting cards as well. So, yeah, hey, that would be like a reverse Pete Rose kind of deal, right? If you got a guy that's like, he's not really betting on baseball, but he's betting on the cards. He's like, oh man, I got a Wander Franco superfractor. Let me just throw a meatball right down the plate. I don't care. I'm going to go ahead and cash out my superfractor tonight.
Oh,
that'd be
man.
Wild. I like the concept, though. I don't know. I just feel like these number one prospects have been hitting. Like, you know, like the Acuñas and the Tatis and the, you know, and the Vlads. And they're all been hitting. I feel like there's got to be a time where one of them's not going to hit. Could it be Wander?
But isn't this a great era for baseball where you're seeing these top prospects come up?
It's amazing.
And they're like,
it's amazing.
Just delivering. I love the fact that the Rays finally called him up. I love the fact that he delivered. I love the fact that, like, baseball is getting younger with the talent.
Mm-hmm.
So
absolutely.
I think it's good. I think it's good for baseball. I think it's good for the hobby.
Cody, if you had a Wander Franco first Bowman auto right now, what are you doing with it?
I think I might sell, but I also feel like I might regret it, because you know what I was thinking about is, like, Juan Soto for me is like an example of, like, you should probably hold, even if you think, well, the team's not that exciting. Like Washington Nationals, you had Steven Strasburg and Bryce Harper, so I guess there's a little more of a tradition of like top prospects in that organization. But you go from a guy like Juan Soto, who was not really heralded at all, to like he's one of like the two or three most wanted guys for baseball card collectors. So I think like if Wander can have a rookie season, that's like absolutely incredible. And I don't really think there's any reason to believe that he won't have that type of season the way he's performed. I think maybe 1-2 years from now he would pay off. But I think if I had it in my hands, I would still probably sell it. I couldn't help myself. I'd probably sell now.
And he is 20, which is crazy. He's 20. It's kind of that Juan Soto territory, being super young, making that debut, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I just had to refresh myself on the top 100 prospect list, which is going to lead us into our new giveaway for this week. Make sure you comment on Mojo Break Media on the video here. And which prospect are you buying now that Wander's been called up? Which prospect are you into? So make sure you comment below on the video with your pick, and we're going to pick a winner at random. And I'm looking at the list right now, and we got Adley Rutschman and this is MLB.com's prospect list. I know every site has their own opinion, but we have Adley Rutschman and then Spencer Torkelson, Jared Kelnick, Julio Rodriguez, Mackenzie Gore, Bobby Witt Jr., CJ Abrams, Nate Pearson, and Christian Pache. I'm actually very surprised that they have Adley seconds. But he is also one of the oldest on the list, so maybe a little bit more seasoned, played in college. And then Spencer Torkelson. Really no pitchers besides Nate Pearson, all position players. So.
Mackenzie Gore?
Mackenzie Gore. I feel like Mackenzie Gore has been on the prospect list forever for the Padres. Any of those names, Cody, strike you as the next guy to collect?
I feel like Torkelson is the obvious choice here. And I think it's also because the Tigers are going to have a lot of momentum, I think, in the next few years with Torkelson. Casey Mize is already up in the big leagues. Riley Green as well. I think it's an organization on the right path, and we've seen that when they're ready to win, they're never afraid to spend money. So Torkelson coming up, they add some free agents. I think that he could be like the next superstar, power hitting superstar in baseball.
Yep. And I noticed that we've got CJ Abrams on the list at number 8.
Yeah.
And he plays shortstop.
Yep.
And he's on the Padres.
And I think, and he's probably my pick, him and Bobby Witt.
Yeah.
Abrams, I think, is legit, but you're right.
Where does he play?
I don't know if he makes his debut on the Padres.
Right.
But he might be the piece for a midseason deal, trying to get, like, I don't know. Padres are loaded. What do they need? Maybe another rotation guy,
right? So that could be like, there's teams that he could go to that could just be like the, remember that, like the like if he gets traded to the A's, death, it's death to prospects. Sorry, C-Red. It's just like any guy that gets traded to the A's, prospect is dead. His Bowman's dead.
You're, I like Abrams. Wrong. I like Bobby Witt.
Royals are another one of those teams. At least his card is already the. I like Bobby Witt too. You know, it'd be interesting to see. And I wish I had this data before we went live, but like, who's the cheapest, lowest prospect, right? Like the cheapest first Bowman auto.
It might be Kelnick. Because of what he did when he got his first taste in the big leagues, I think he is probably the most undervalued on that list.
But I think at this point, that's almost justified. I mean, he went back to AAA with, what, like an 0-36?
Yeah.
On his way back to
AAA. So you buy the dip.
That's a pretty big dip.
He may never hit again, but you buy it.
I mean, J-Rod, I mean, maybe people are overlooking J-Rod now because they've been focused in on Kelnick. I don't know. I mean, obviously the obvious one that's probably the cheapest is Nate Pearson, which might be a sneaky buy because the Blue Jays, I mean, the way that they've been playing and the way that Vlad's been playing, maybe if they get into the postseason and Nate Pearson could have a big game, might be a real sneaky one, because I'm sure him and Mackenzie Gore are got to be by far the cheapest that are on this list.
I don't like their positions.
I know. I'm just saying you could probably get 10 of them compared to one Bobby Witt or C.J. Abrams or any of these guys on this list. But, so interesting to see. We also, Cody, we're going to talk about some prospects in other sports. Give us a little introduction, and we'll have an overall discussion on, like, you know, who should we invest in the other sports?
Yeah, obviously. Yeah, it's first off, yeah, like you said, we're doing another giveaway. Let us know your favorite prospect. Wochuk was our winner for last week for the soccer box. So let us know in the comments. We'll hit him up in the comments for last week's YouTube video as well. But yeah, go on motorbreak.com and contact us. Wochuk, congratulations. These prospects, the four that you see on the slide, Wander Franco, you know him, five-tool superstar, potential superstar for the Tampa Bay Rays. He could be the next great player in baseball. I don't really think it's that crazy to even say that. Cade Cunningham is going to be the number one pick in the NBA draft. The lottery was last night. They showed a video of him already being like, all right, Detroit sounds good. So we already know he's going to be on the Detroit Pistons, who are building up a lot of young talent. I've been seeing some comparisons to Cade Cunningham, like Jimmy Butler is a comparison, but I've also seen some scouts compare him to Luka Doncic.
Wow.
Which seems like that might be a little bit much to put on the young man, but he's the number one pick for a reason. Trevor Lawrence, you know him, Trevor Lawrence. It's Trevor Lawrence. And then Cole Caulfield, if you watched Hobby Stars of the Week last week, I talked about this guy, young star on the Montreal Canadiens. He's already got 3 goals in this semifinal matchup against the Vegas Knights. The Canadiens are 1 win away from the Stanley Cup Finals as we sit here. 3 goals in the series. His Young Gun cards is going to be in the first set, Series 1, next year for hockey. I think he's going to be super hot for hockey at a time where I think hockey is going to start to rise again in popularity as it gets more eyes on it with going to ESPN, Turner Sports, all that.
Absolutely.
Is Cole Caulfield, is he 14 or is he basically older than that? It looks like
He's got like the record for the most goals scored in the USA Developmental League. And like the names he was over was like Austin Matthews, Phil Kessel, like really established names for USA hockey fans. So he's a USA born player playing in Montreal. Really good mix, I think.
That's what's up. That's what's up.
Now, I'm going to flip this to C-Rad. We see Mr. Number One here going to the Pistons.
Detroit basketball.
I feel like I haven't talked about any Piston rookie, maybe outside Andre Drummond, in the last 10 years.
Yeah, this will be the Pistons, one of their highest picks, probably one of their best picks that they've young guys that they've ever gotten in a long time. So it's going to be interesting to see how they rebuild the team around him. I mean, they've already started cleaning house, right, with the getting rid of Griffin and Drummond and D-Rose. So, yeah, I think it's going to be an exciting time for Pistons fans. And
And he seems to be just labeled as the guy, right?
He's the guy.
Like, he's the Zion of the draft. There's no question about, like last year, was it Edwards? Was it Ball? Was it Wiseman?
Yeah, there's no question.
This year, it's this guy. So that's good. And I feel bad for the Pistons fans who finally get their chance here, because it seems like they always were, like, the 7th eighth seed where they're getting, like, the 15th pick, and it's just never – like, you're just never getting a lottery pick here, and now they're getting that chance.
Well, for a long time, they were used to kind of winning in the East, right? And then – and because of that, then they wouldn't get any high draft picks,
right?
And then obviously things haven't been working out for them the last decade, really. But and they still haven't been getting the high draft picks. So this is their first one, and if I was a Pistons fan, I'd be excited. Actually, the top five guys that are projected to go in the NBA draft this year are supposed to be really good.
Yeah, I heard it's not like there's not like a totally like generational talent. Well, it's all speculation, but there's a lot of solid, like, overall.
Well, I'll tell you
players.
What, if this Cade Cunningham, even if he's like half a Luka Doncic, he's gonna be pretty damn good. If they're comparing him to Luka Doncic.
Where does the guy in the G League that has the upper deck cards already, where does he fall?
Like five? He's definitely in the top five.
He's a lot of pick for sure, yeah. I'm not sure if he's going to be in top five or not, but he's a lot of pick for sure.
Is it
Gerald Green?
Gerald Green?
Gerald something?
Not Gerald Green.
No, it's not Gerald Green.
I believe it's Jalen Green.
Jalen Green,
who's got some good size and some good athletic ability at the age he's already playing, and did the non-traditional college, went to G League instead. So we'll see if that pans out. But Dan, if you had to push all your chips in the theme of Vegas, and maybe it's on somebody that's not in here, but on this picture, but who are you picking?
Wander Franco, I think, is the easy one, right? Even though I was like, sell. But I mean, I think in 3 years, 4 years, we might be like, best player in baseball. Now, is that going to translate to Juan Soto or Acuna numbers? It should, but there is no guarantee. Soto won a championship. Acuna has been on good teams.
Right.
So even if Wander Franco is amazing, and the Rays are good, if I'm not mistaken, the Rays are good.
Well, they were the bubble year, but they were the first seed last year, right? They were the they represented
so,
the league.
I think Wander's the safe pick. Still going to go with a guy that I think is going to be maybe the best quarterback in the draft, and that's Mac Jones.
What?
Yeah.
Yep. It came out of nowhere.
I know.
Jeez.
I know. How about that?
Wow.
Wow. Yeah, and we're
Trevor.
What? Nope. Nope.
Wow. Well, are you a fan of Belichick or something? Is that what you're doing?
He's proven.
Is he proven?
Yeah.
Not without Tom Brady.
Yeah. You're mad. I didn't say your boy.
Oh, I knew you weren't going to go that route, but I thought for sure you were going to go Trevor Lawrence.
No. Mac Jones.
You know, it's hard for me to pick any of the. I mean, I'm almost half tempted to lean towards the kid on the Canadians because this guy's playing at a high level in the playoffs. And the young guns is, you know, I mean, he'll probably, if he comes out at Laffy prices, it's like $200 to $300, right? So you're not getting invested too much in it. I don't know. I'm almost tempted to go that route because the guy's already in the. He might go to the cup. I mean, if he wins the cup, then it's just pure pandemonium.
But the
right?
only thing about the hockey guys who get that late call up and then end up going on a pretty substantial like Stanley Cup run, a lot of times they fizzle out going into next year. Yeah. We saw it with I know he's a defenseman, but a couple of years ago with the Bruins, it was Torrey Krug.
Yeah.
Remember, like, his cards were going through the roof. He was having like really, really good Stanley Cup playoff run, and then his cards just fizzled out the next year.
Was he a late like insertion like this kid here, or
hockey's weird because like this kid could have been drafted. Did we say when he was drafted? Probably a couple years ago, right?
Yeah, I want to say it was like 18 or 19.
Yeah, so.
But he hasn't had any official Young Guns card yet.
No, because he probably got called up late.
And he doesn't have any cup RPAs yet either.
No. He doesn't have anything.
No. So
they'll basically run him out as the poster boy for next year, I'm assuming.
I actually thought that he might have been in update because they're doing a hockey update series.
Yeah.
But no, they're going to hold him in, which makes me feel that like there may not be a Lafreniere or anybody like that next year, and they're going to try to use this player to drive Series 1. My cat fell.
Oh.
Yep.
Yeah. So, I mean, I'm tempted to go that route. I know he's not necessarily a prospect, but I've seen how low John Morant's prices have gone. Like, it's almost like nobody's even buying John Morant anymore. It's like, did we not see him get into the playoffs by beating the Warriors and then put on a pretty good show in that first round? Granted, didn't get past it, but John Morant with a little bit of help on that team, Memphis is going, you know. So I think I bought a silver, or silver was like $300-$400 for a PSA 9. It was like, what happened, right?
I'm starting to think it's partly because of that market. The Memphis Grizzlies market
could be.
Yeah,
I think that
has a part of playing it because obviously he's one of the best young players in the NBA right now.
Which, I mean, scares me about you. You're right. Market means everything when it comes to the hobby. Yeah, you could look at their stats, but the market adds to it. And you got Trevor Lawrence playing for the Jaguars. I know Tim Tebow's there, drawing some attention on Tim Tebow. We'll see if he makes a team. But, like, when's the last time a Jaguar sold in the hobby? You know, I mean, Blake Bortles, maybe?
Fournette?
Yeah, he didn't really sell.
For a running back, he did.
During his rookie season.
Yeah during his rookie year, he sold. But it's like, you know, the Jaguars don't seem to sell. I'm almost wondering, you know, who I want to keep an eye on is Zach Wilson. I mean, if the Jets perform, that is a market. And then you have Gary Vee, who loves, you know, Gary Vee will be talking about him. And Gary Vee, whatever he says, the hobby listens. So,
you know what? What's funny to me that I've noticed with this upcoming football season is that Zach Wilson actually gets the most hate out of all the quarterback prospects. like people hate him the most, or not necessarily hate him, they believe in him the least.
Yeah, he's getting overlooked because it's either like you got, you obviously have, you know, this guy that's here, Trevor Lawrence, and then you got a lot of people love Fields, and then a lot of people like myself, the GOAT, Trey Lance. Jones. And then you got Mac Jones, so nobody talk about the second overall pick?
No, I mean, well, yeah. No, I mean, but the Jets, like, they need to get one right to turn over that culture of everybody being like, they'll never get a franchise quarterback.
Well, they did get
that
it right.
That makes sense
before.
To me.
They got it right.
But Joe Namath?
Yes.
Yeah.
They got it right before. Hey. That, I don't think the Lions have never got it right. Now they got Jared Goff out there.
No, so. They did. They got it right. Stafford, it wasn't his fault.
I mean, there's teams that wish they had 40 years ago. They had, I mean, look, the Browns would have loved to have somebody 40 years ago. I mean, I don't even know if they were Baltimore back then. I don't know. But, you know. But anyways, yeah. So, I mean, it's interesting to see with all this stuff coming out. Big football season coming up. Possible big basketball season. You got Wander Franco. You got baseball. Probably has the brightest young talent. Probably the most young talent in the last, I don't know, 10 years it feels like. You know, because we had the Jeters and the Chipper Jones, and it's like, who's going to be next? And we felt like there wasn't enough talent. Now you've got so much young talent that's here to stay for many years to come.
And you had a lot of those players in, like, the, you know, early 2000s that, like, performed for such a long time.
Yeah.
The Albert Pujolses and the Todd Heltons and the Ichiros and, like, all those, like, they were the superstars, and they were the superstars for over a decade.
Yeah.
Now I feel that we're getting – baseball is getting a lot younger with the talent. And a lot of these – you go back 15 years, it was probably unheard of to call up a 20-year-old.
Right. Yeah, it never happened.
You wouldn't do it. Yeah. I mean, I remember – I think Harper – I want to say he made his debut, and he was probably – 2021.
I believe he was like 18 or 19.
18? Yeah. He did
19 years old, I believe.
But he did 1 year in. He didn't go to college.
He
went to a community college.
Yeah, so that he could skip.
I think he had one full season in the minors, and then he got called up the next spring training. So
yeah, 19 years old in 2012 is when he made it.
And was Soto 19 too?
Yeah.
But you're right, like the Will Clarks and stuff like that. They usually like seasoned in the minors. But you know, and Chris in the chat asks, "Are we selling Ohtani yet?" I want to sell him.
I'm ready. The worst news for Ohtani happened last week when he basically said he was going to join the Home Run Derby.
I know that's not good.
It never works out. I'd probably sell now. Actually, I hate saying that. At least unless you want to hold on for like the long haul, like you basically want to hold on for 2, 3, 4 years. But if you're, I think he is going to have
now.
A
do
bad
you wait
second.
For the Home Run Derby to see what happens, or do you sell before it?
I sell before it.
Now, what if he defies expectations again? Like, you know, he's the only guy that pitches and hit, and then he goes out his derby, and then his play stays at the same level.
I don't think there's any way that he is going to be able to after the All-Star game, he will go through that Home Run Derby slump. It messes with your swing.
I'm a firm believer. I mean, you've seen it happen with Aaron Judge. You've seen it happen with Cody Bellinger. You've seen it happen with, I think it was it Vlad Jr.? Vlad Jr. took a ton of swings. I think he lowered his ERA today, though, because I think as it looks like they're in the 10th inning and there's only been one run.
Six innings, one earned run, I believe, for him today. So.
Let me ask you guys a question then. Because it's obvious to you guys, right, that watch baseball, and then you guys and have seen year after year, like these guys who enter the Home Run Derby and their hitting changes, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or it diminishes a little bit after the Home Run Derby. Aren't these teams that are like telling their players to like won't? Don't you think these teams are like saying maybe you shouldn't join the Home Run Derby because?
Oh, I think without a doubt, but. Now, when Aaron Judge did it, I think the Yankees were in at least a division race, and they ended up going to the playoffs that year, and I think they actually went pretty far in the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
But he fell off. Like, he basically just ran out of steam. I think he was getting a little injured, but I think if your team is competitive, I think you probably have a GM whispering in your ear like, hey, don't do it. But it's also good for the team.
Right? Yeah.
It's good. It'll be great for the Angels to have Shohei Ohtani on that stage. Now, are the Angels going to turn it around and win the division? Probably not. So go for it. Now, Ohtani is like one of those guys that like I would never have him do it because he does pitch. He is hitting bombs. I mean, I would try to avoid that.
Yeah, and he made history today by the first American League team that chose to not use a DH when the National League utilized one. So he pitched today, and he hit today when they could have had him pitch and then not hit, and most teams would obviously do that. But because he plays both ways, he does very well at both, he did both today. So he is 26, too. We got to keep that in mind. I know it's not super old, but, like, you know, it's not like Wander Franco either. You know, I mean, and he had some miles on him from the Japan League and WBC and all that stuff as well. So I don't know. It's a tough call because nobody's ever done this. I mean, I'm thinking let's sell. May not have another opportunity.
Now, if he wins the Home Run Derby.
Right. Then you get a bump.
You get a bump.
You get a bump.
But you, if he wins it, like, actually, the best thing for, like, the longevity of him is that he doesn't even get past the first round.
Yeah.
If I could play devil's advocate for a second, I think the Home Run Derby thing is a little bit overhyped. I don't think I think there's been a couple of cases where guys have either done well in the Home Run Derby or won the Home Run Derby and fall off. But I think if you were to take, like, everybody who's ever been in the Home Run Derby and look at their second half stats, I don't think we'd be as shocked. There wouldn't be as big of a fall off as you'd expect. I think there'd be like the normal like second half of a season drop off, but I think it's a little over.
Yeah, maybe not as Chris says, not much like Madden curse. Maybe it's not like that deep. You know,
and I think too. Remember when Bobby Abreu is going way back, like 2005. Bobby Abreu hit like 30 home runs in the Home Run Derby, and he literally had like 10 up to that point, and it was weird he was even in it. And then he hit like zero home runs in the second half, and so I think ever since then that narrative has grown. But I don't really think that it's as extreme as we think. Yeah,
he used them up.
Used them up.
I just, you know, as a former, you know, baseball player myself, I just feel like you don't swing that way in games repetitively that many times. So I just feel like it kind of changes the way you swing. But I'm also not I was never a professional ball player.
Could we give these kids aluminum bats? Then you wouldn't have to swing as
100%
hard.
100% agree. Let's do aluminum bats.
650 foot.
Especially
home runs.
At Coors Field this year, you'll hit 700 foot home runs.
Jeez. Yeah. Yeah.
Jeez.
But I granted that would also probably change your swing as well.
Yeah. One last thing about the Shohei thing and the home run. I think it's because he does play both like pitching and hitting. I think it's a little bit more dangerous. Just a little bit more dangerous than anybody else doing the Home Run Derby, right? In terms of if that's actually a thing where somebody is playing worse after the Home Run Derby, I think it applies to him a little bit more because he does pitching as well.
Yeah, no, these guys do batting practice, but I don't think they're trying to hit home runs.
Yeah, they're not trying to hit a ball.
They're trying to get familiar with the field. They're trying to hit, you know, differently. I know the Giants don't even throw meatballs. They throw different types of pitches so that the hitters can get used to swinging at the stadium and seeing different types of pitches. So I think it's a little bit different of an approach when you're just trying to come out your shoes and you're having your pitcher throw you a straight meatball and you're doing it like, you know. Obviously, these guys are athletes and their bodies are probably ready for it, but it's
but
just,
you
different.
Hear, like, any player that goes on a good streak of hitting during a season, they're never doing a post-game interview saying, well, I was just trying to go yard.
Right.
I was just trying to hit a home run. Usually it's like, I'm just trying to put a good swing on it. You go to the Home Run Derby.
And you're trying to go yard.
They're trying to go yard.
Yep.
It's not called the base hit derby.
Right, exactly. Well, let's not get too disappointed about Shohei because he's having a crazy year, but you know who the guy I am disappointed with? Mr. Benjamin Simmons. I've been holding on to hope. 16-17, he was Upper Deck exclusive, so I decided that we're going to get involved and we're going to buy some of his Prism cards because he doesn't have autographs from Panini. He only has the Prism cards because he You know, so they're going to be rare, more rare, and he's just such a specimen. He's a point guard, almost 7 feet, and all this stuff. And I know he can't shoot, but he'll figure it out. And I don't think he'll ever figure it out. I don't think he'll ever figure out how to shoot free throws. I don't think he'll ever figure out how to shoot it. I don't think he'll ever turn it around personally. I know he got some pros and cons on the screen here, but I am done with Ben Simmons.
There is one that, like, jumps out at me that... Worst, is that free throw shooter in NBA playoff history?
Yes.
He's pretty the worst to ever do it.
Worst to ever do it. Minimum of 67 attempts.
Beat Wilt Chamberlain and Shaquille O'Neal, by the way, for that distinction.
Wow. And those guys have championships. Yeah, I just, you know, I mean, I think the 10 free throws missed in that one game where they lost by 6, absolutely horrible. And the... just bad decision making. You're right under the rim and you pass the ball when nobody on you. It's just, I just don't know if he's in his head. I mean, like I say, he's a supreme athlete. Well, probably one of the best specimens we've seen, with the ability of his dribbling and the way that he can kind of do a lot of different things. But we can't trust the process anymore. We can't. And I think as a Philly fan, you got to be just pulling your hair out at this guy. Mm. I feel so bad for Philly fans because it's like, every year you're there, and this year seemed like it might have been an easier path to get there. Mm-hmm. You got no Bron, you got no Curry, you know. You get in there, you get to the finals, it's probably yours for the taking, and you lose to the Hawks. And props to the Hawks. I mean, Trae Young played an amazing series. Kevin Huerter is people loving him over there in ATL. But what do you think about Ben Simmons there, C-Rad?
I mean, the good news is that he's still pretty young, right? The shooting thing is something that I think everybody who watches NBA was or a collector of Ben Simmons was hoping he would get better with through the years, and it obviously hasn't panned out yet. And I think I was watching a few videos this week, and I kind of agree with some of what they were saying in that it's not necessarily that Ben Simmons can't, like, you can imagine he's in the gym shooting practice, free throw shooting. And he's probably, like, in the gym when they're training, he's probably shooting like probably Steph Curry or something, right?
Yeah.
But in the game, for some reason, he's afraid to take those shots.
Yes.
So it really is like a mental thing, because in the gym, like I said, he probably can make these shots, but he's not willing to in the game.
In his own head.
So that's a big issue, and it's been his main issue since he's been drafted, right? He can do everything else. He can pass. He can. You know, he can drive at will. He can, you know, do everything that you want as a, especially your point guard, except the one of the most important things as a guard is to shoot the basketball.
Yeah, I actually thought Ben Simmons was going to, well, lack of a better phrase, change the game of basketball. I thought we were going to be like, in order to compete and win championships, you're going to need an athletic 7-foot point guard. Yeah. And it was going to be hard to find them. Mm-hmm. They're not in every draft, but I think the talent's there. But you were saying, I think it's in his head now.
Yep. Here's a few cards that we recently sold. So we had a big Ben Simmons collection, as you've seen. These ones ended in May, so I think we cashed out at the right time, because I probably would think that these are worth half as much as what we sold them for. Bought this Mojo Prism at $6,500, so it took a little bit of an L, but got $5,700 back. The Green Select, I think we paid like $1,500 for, so it took a little bit of an L on that, but sold, I think, about 10 to 15 Ben Simmons cards in all that we had, because I just was like, this is the time. He's in the playoffs. I already had my doubts on him then. And definitely glad that we moved these cards before all this happened, because it might have been pretty tough. So
it's funny, we lost on pretty much all of them, but it feels good to move them.
Yeah,
because the L could have been bigger. That's
the
why.
L. Yeah, well, that's what you justify, right? You
know?
I think he's gonna still be a player in this league, but not a 1, 2, or 3. I think, you know, you could see kind of like maybe a Lou Williams type, like six man, you know, with Ben Simmons, or maybe a. Maybe he'll get, like, best improved player, you know? But as far as, like, electricity and being a guy that's going to drive this hobby, I can't
but
see it.
Do you think, like, if he was put on a different team, it seems like that team is always always ran around Joel Embiid, right?
Yeah.
So maybe Ben Simmons is not a good fit with Embiid.
And maybe a change of scenario, like a change of scenery scenario where he goes to, like, I don't know, like maybe he goes to
New York
or Detroit with the new draft pick there, and maybe it just freshens him up and he becomes good and can start hitting shots again. Maybe that's what he needs. You know, I mean, Alex Smith changed scenery a little bit. I know he was on that run with the Niners, but, you know, became a little bit better with the Chiefs.
It's like, so it's almost, we're pretty much saying that the Sixers didn't advance because of Ben Simmons.
Had a lot to do with
it. Would they have been better if he just did not suit up?
That's hard to say.
I mean, there was one game, like I said, he missed 10 free throws, and they lost by 6.
You know what's crazy, too? I think somebody else on ESPN was saying that in the two playoff seasons ago, he was actually shooting 70% from free throw line. But then for some reason this year, it just, like, he totally mentally collapsed and wasn't able to make anything. Like, the lowest free throw shoot percentage in NBA playoff of all time, dude. You're talking about, so like, you're like Wilt, Shaq, and then, like, I'm not even thinking about, like, Ben Wallace. They're, like, terrible free throws. He's a terrible free throw shooter. He's worse than Ben Wallace, bro. You know what I mean? It doesn't make any sense for a guard to be shooting that bad.
I know. It's just, I don't know.
But like I said, the good news is that he's young. I'm not 1,000% giving up on him. I'm just hoping he can prove us wrong wherever he goes.
I think Philadelphia has, though.
Philadelphia has given up on him.
I think the fan base has given up on him.
When the fans start burning your jerseys?
Yeah, yeah. It's a bad sign.
Yeah, I think you got to keep Embiid and blow up the rest of that team. Maybe get a new coach. Keep Embiid and try to build around them and restart the process.
But how long do you keep Embiid?
I know he's had his injury issues, right? Yeah, where he doesn't.
I think you break that team down
completely.
Wow. Oh, I don't know about that. Embiid's still one of the best players. He almost won MVP this year.
Yeah, that's true. He was second.
Embiid should be a Warrior.
Well, I'm not going to argue that.
Me neither. We know you guys have all had that. We, you know, this is us taking an L here right in front of you. We're showing you the statistics on what we paid and, you know, the L we took. What's your guys' biggest hobby disappointments? So there's some familiar faces on here.
Ooh.
You got Ben Simmons, RG3, Johnny Manziel, Wiggins.
How did Wiggins get up there?
Oh, I'm glad he put him on here, because if anybody that breaks with me knows, Wiggins is one of my biggest disappointments of all times. Of my entire life.
When you're the number one pick, and yeah, for a number one pick, he's a huge disappointment. I think that's fair.
Yeah,
yeah, he's you know what?
Where's Markel?
Is that Bubba Starling over there?
It is.
Okay.
Where's Markel Fultz?
Also very disappointing.
Yeah, so I want to hear, you know, there's no giveaway attached to this, but if you guys want to comment below, it's always interesting to see, like, hey, I was all in on this guy, and look what happened, you know. Yeah. I mean, there was a lot. 2014, the hobby wasn't as booming, as big as it was, but there was a lot of folks involved with Johnny Manziel.
Yeah, and lost their shirt with Dunn.
Johnny was the next coming. He was going to turn Cleveland around and had that great-looking autograph, had that great college career, and it's just like, money Manziel, baby, and it just didn't work out. Now he's... out there doing interviews talking about how he didn't care. They took money for autographs and stuff like that. So
what's funny is that, you know, the Browns, you know, now have Baker May. They're like almost the same type of person, personality wise.
Seems like it, yeah.
And then, but then Baker May is actually able to win on the field.
Well, and I look at that, and I look at the era of the hobby. There wasn't as much buzz or money in the hobby. People would have took a way bigger L.
Yeah.
If Johnny Manziel was a rookie in 2019, 2020.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, because I mean, you could still get – when Flawless came out, I think I bought a Flawless auto maybe a year after.
First year Flawless, too.
First year Flawless, but maybe a year after Johnny Manziel, and I bought it for like $150.
Jeez.
It was like just a different –
I remember, you know, back then, I remember seeing Johnny's prices and being like, wow, these are crazy. For 2014, right, yeah. They were crazy.
But it was like, what was a Johnny Manziel in TRPA? Maybe 1500?
Yeah, exactly. That's what I mean. It was like 1500.
Like
contenders
in
20, was like,
in 2020, that same RPA would have been 75,000.
I know. Yeah. Matthew in the chat mentions Andrew Luck, which I was just about to comment on RG3. I mean, did Shanna Daddy, did he ruin his career? because he was just imagine if this was last year, this guy went to the playoffs, fought through an injury, and went to a playoff game as a rookie quarterback. I mean, luck did too, but you know, he was in there, and then basically he shouldn't have been playing and got re-injured, and then the rest is history. Like, yeah. He probably shouldn't have been in that playoff game.
Yeah.
There's a lot of people. I mean, he was like the perfect – he was kind of Mahomes before Mahomes, right? He was the guy – RG3 was going to be the guy that could run and throw accurately, and he's going to be the next, like, the hybrid of, like,
God,
the best
– he was
the best quarterback
that rookie year.
He was good.
If you would have told me in 2012, fast forward to 2021, the best rookie quarterback was Ryan Tannehill.
Russell Wilson.
Ryan Tannehill.
Yeah.
But Ryan Tannehill is the one where – because Russell Wilson, he was the starter his rookie year out of training camp, but it was a surprise.
Yeah, yeah.
But Tannehill, converted, what, receiver? I think he was a receiver in college. He played 1 year quarterback.
Yep. Yeah, a lot of people were high on him. Nick Foles was in that draft, too.
Nick Foles. But, I thought we were going to look at Andrew Luck, and he was going to be one of the all-time greats.
Oh, yeah. I mean, and he fought through it, and obviously those injuries caught up with him. Yeah.
And he had some great, great years, too.
Yeah, he had some amazing years. And are we completely 100% sure he's never coming back?
I'm not 100% sure.
He ain't coming back.
Anybody think he's coming back out there?
I don't think you can look at Andrew Luck and necessarily feel like he was a disappointment. I think he gave all he could, and he had some great years for Indianapolis. You know, just injuries cut his career short, and himself, you know, he walked away from the game. So,
we got Lonzo Ball in the chat. I don't know about Lonzo Ball being the biggest disappointment. I'm still a Lonzo Ball guy, but yes, I could see where he didn't live up to the second overall pick. And then Jamarcus Russell.
I don't know that guy.
You were probably glad you weren't collecting in 2007.
People keep bringing up that name. Like, I don't know who the hell this guy is. Like, who the hell is Jamarcus Russell?
Man.
How many games did he play as a Raider? 4? 5?
I don't know.
0 to me in my head.
The story that came out recently that they were giving him tapes to watch. Obviously, maybe back then it was VHSs. They were giving him tapes to watch plays, and they didn't think he was watching them, so they gave him a blank one, and he came back. He's like, yeah, I love that defensive scheme that you guys had out there. And it was a blank tape. Literally, he didn't even put it in. He didn't even watch it. And, man.
25 starts, by the way.
25 starts. Wow.
7 and 18, 18 touchdowns, 23 interceptions.
I don't remember that time period at all.
How many touchdowns?
18 touchdowns compared to 23 picks.
There's the worst stat lines out there.
Yeah. Didn't he just show up to camp his rookie season? He was like
that?
Like 80 pounds heavier than when he was drafted?
He was, and then I think there was some purple drink allegations. He was doing the, I think it's the codeine and something. Codeine and some kind of thing mixed together, and it was very popular during that era. He might have been making it right there in that photo that we're looking at. But, yeah, I mean, and that was the year that Calvin Johnson and Adrian Peterson were drafted. So there was a lot of people that were like, I don't want Calvin Johnson or Adrian Peterson. I'm all in on Jamarcus. Crazy, right? Crazy. And I'm sure we'll have more of these stories. That's why
maybe the, at least with quarterback, maybe the biggest bust in the history of the NFL draft.
How about Ryan Leaf?
I think Ryan Leaf played a lot longer, though.
But he was taken before Peyton Manning, right? Am I correct? Or was Peyton Manning taken first?
Peyton was first.
Yeah.
Okay, so he was second. He's only 45. He could almost still be playing, Ryan Leaf. But
21 starts for Ryan Leaf versus how many was it for Jamarcus? It was 25.
But 14 touchdowns and 36 interceptions.
Okay, well.
So, actually, yeah, Ryan Leaf might have a worse stat line than
but
Jamarcus.
But Ryan Leaf did get another chance with Dallas, right?
Yes. Yeah. Yep.
And Dallas. I don't think anybody gave Jamarcus Russell another chance.
No, I don't think. I think he had some tryouts, but it never stuck. So, But yeah, well, we got one last little thing. It's Guess That Price, the ever so popular Guess That Price. So I will let Cody take over here, and we're gonna see who wins. I'm putting my money on me.
All right, we're just making it a quick round here. Some of the guys we talked about today, starting with Wander Franco. This is a 2019 Bowman Heritage Gold Refractor on card auto, numbered to 50, and it's PSA 10.
Wow, that is.
Did I win last time?
And when did this sell? Recently?
This was, yeah, very recently, within the last couple of days.
Did I win the last Guess Your Price, the unofficial one? Or did I lose that?
I didn't win.
Cody won last one.
The scorekeeper was not keeping score, unfortunately, for that one in the exhibition match.
I know I lost the one
before. The last official match, yes, I won.
What year is it? 2019.
So this isn't a first Bowman. It's not a rookie. It's just.
What do you guys think in the chats? I already wrote mine down, so. What do you guys think? Guess That Price. Gold Wander Franco, Bowman Heritage.
Okay, I got my price.
And who wants to lead it off?
I'll start. 20,000.
Wow. We're a little far off here.
Wow.
3,500.
3,250.
Ooh, we're pretty close.
Ooh, boy. This might be the closest one we've ever had.
So that means you lost.
Actual price. On the dot, Doug, $3,500.
Wow.
That shows you
I don't pay attention to baseball at all.
You were thinking of regular gold, I think.
Yeah,
I was probably
thinking about the first Bowman or something.
Yeah, and it actually, like, I think it might be the same photo.
It does look like the first Bowman photo, but oh well.
On the flip side, Ben Simmons. This is also a PSA 10. This also just sold recently. Tri-Color Select Prism Rookie. 2016 rookie, PSA 10.
Is that the first year of the tricolors? Crazy.
No, they had tricolors in 15, 16.
Not numbered.
This is a non-numbered card, and it did sell within, I believe this did sell either just before or just after the Sixers were eliminated. Right around there.
Is there negative on eBay or?
You have to pay.
Yeah.
Don Bob in the chat already ahead of you saying $1.
All right. Let me start this off. $475.
Jeez. I wanted to put a dollar just because he's trash, but I put $175.
Ah! Dan also put $175.
$175.
Give me the trophy, Cody.
Actual price. $227.50.
So Doug and Dan both won.
Tie.
So do we get like a half point, I guess?
Yeah, you get a half point. And like, tie isn't, for that
that's
one.
Not benefit. That doesn't benefit me at all.
So you have, yeah, nobody can win.
Curiously, at his peak, what
Doug
does that
go
oh,
for?
Oh, yeah, Doug in.
At Ben Simmons' peak, what does that actually go for? At the peak of
500?
Maybe
600?
Maybe, yeah. Okay. Eight, maybe.
I'm shocked that it went for $200 more than I would have paid. That's a lot of money for a guy that literally can't shoot free throws and can't shoot at all either. I mean, just a guy that can dribble and steal the ball every once in a while.
All right, last one. This will just be for fun. Or actually, I guess we'll figure out who wins this. Johnny Manziel, first Bowman on card auto in a Padres uniform.
Did they take a picture from a helicopter?
Yeah, I don't know.
There's
what
Bowman.
I don't know what's going on here.
I remember that.
Yeah, that was a cool card.
And it does say, for the listeners at home, Johnny Baseball. He wrote Johnny Baseball and then his
Why auto. Wouldn't he?
What did it sell recently?
This so I actually didn't see when this sold, but...
And it's a refractor.
It is a refractor. It's a first Bowman Chrome refractor. Johnny Manziel in a Padres uniform, I'm assuming, throwing out the first pitch. His position is listed as shortstop.
All right. I guess since I've been winning, I'll go first. I put $101.
All right.
I put $375.
I put $77.
I think there's people who still like him.
Actual price. This sold for $5 less than that Ben Simmons card. $222. So I believe that would be Dan, I think, would have the... Would that be right? I'm trying to do the quick math in my head.
What did I put $375? No.
Oh, no. So
$77.
All right, Doug. Doug is the winner. The
That's right. I told you. Put your money on me.
So are you telling me a Johnny Baseball refractor chrome sold more than an active NBA player who's one of the top 10 players at his position probably still?
For $5 less. If you, for $5 more, you could have gotten that Ben Simmons card, or you can get this Johnny Manziel autographed baseball card.
And I think as an investment, it's about the same.
Yeah. No, no.
Yeah.
Ben Simmons got to be worth more than Johnny Baseball. He's got to be.
I think there. I mean, there may be more people who still collect Johnny Football.
Yeah, that's crazy. I did not think it was going to be that close. Well, which one would you rather have?
Ben Simmons.
I think I might go Johnny. So that's a cool card.
There's a certain novelty to that card.
That's a cool card.
It is. Look how he's smiling. He's probably thinking in the photo that he should have played baseball. Probably would have had a better career.
That is crazy.
Did we even pull one of these? I don't think we did.
No. Right?
I think they were really tough.
You have to pull one of these out of regular Chrome Football?
No, it was 2014 Chrome Baseball.
Oh.
Yeah.
What the hell was he doing in that product?
They just had him signed because I think the Padres actually drafted him.
It was get Johnny Manziel in every product.
Yeah.
Johnny never says no to signing.
They threw him in money. They threw him in a Wimbledon because he somehow went to a game one day. No, I'm just kidding. Wimbledon product, but yeah, Johnny Football. And you could see that auto though too. That auto was special. That auto said, "I'm going to be a great at what I do," but no, didn't work out. So. But anyways, once again, pick your favorite prospect. We're going to give a box away of Select Baseball, 2021 Select Baseball. Put your favorite prospect that's not named Wander Franco. Who you think you're buying? Who do you think is going to be the next number one guy? Put it in the comments below on the Mojo Break media video, and we'll pick a winner at random for that. We're doing these giveaways every week, so make sure you guys tune in. MojoBreak.com for your breaks if you want to get into a Select Break, and then MojoBreakShop.com if you want to get some wax. So we're doing some pre-orders. Noir is flying off the shelf. We have pre-orders on Noir. We also have pre-orders on Stadium Club. It comes out Friday. We have pre-orders on Museum Club. So always you can catch some good deals on some pre-sales at MojoBreakShop.com. All right, that is it for the hype. We'll see you next week for episode number 196. Peace.